Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK News for Friday, September 4th. I'm Olivia Rose. Petersburg residents will decide this fall whether or not the town should have a sales tax exemption for seniors age 70 and older, regardless of income. The citizen initiative will be Proposition Number 3 on the ballot. Resident Susan Martinez gathered about 350 signatures to get the initiative on the ballot.
The youngest one just got his voter ID card, all the way up to somebody that was almost 90 years old. And they were all very positive about wanting this pushed through.
Issues about the senior sales tax exemption in Petersburg have been on the ballot a number of times, never passing, until last year. Local voters decided last fall to end the town's exemption for any seniors age 65 and older and replace it with one limited to just low-income seniors. The change dropped the list of roughly 400 or 500 participating seniors to about 60 people. Switching to the income-based exemption was proposed by the borough to garner funds for essential public services amid rising costs, falling revenue, and a growing senior population. Before the change took effect in January, exempting the participating seniors cost the borough hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in lost sales tax revenue. That's according to borough finance officials. Passing Prop 3 and installing an exemption for seniors age 70 and up is estimated to remove at least $350,000 in borough revenue. Here's borough manager Steve Giesbrecht speaking to the assembly last month.
And these are rough numbers. I mean, it takes, you know, a year or two to kind of settle in and make sure the numbers are right. But the estimate is if the initiative passes, we'll lose about $350,000 to $400,000 in revenue.
If approved by Petersburg voters, Prop 3 would add another senior sales tax exemption alongside the town's existing low-income option. That low-income exemption for seniors won't change. Petersburg's municipal election is October 6th. The last day to register to vote is this Sunday. You can find more information on our website, kfsk.org. As students begin the new school year this fall, new teachers are also starting at the Petersburg School District. Seth Johnson will be teaching early elementary special education. Johnson has spent years teaching special education on and off. He's coming to Petersburg after spending 25 years in Oregon, but it's not his first time in town. He lived in Petersburg for a little while in the 90s and attended Petersburg's high school as a student. He tells KFSK's Taylor Heckert, it feels like the right time to return to the community.
Well, it's at that time in my life, you know, my son is all grown and independent. I have that kind of freedom. I can go anywhere and pretty much do anything. And I've always loved Petersburg. One of my best years of high school was spent here. I had a lot of great experiences here, and I saw this job, and I was ready for a return to a quieter, slower-paced, I-can-walk-everywhere kind of a life.
Okay, so you have spent a decent amount of time teaching special education. What do you love so much about teaching special education?
Well, my first experience with and young people, children with diverse abilities, was on a trip to Romania to work with children that were removed forcibly from their homes by the government because they were different in some way. And so that experience kind of formed my life's path, and I've spent my life working in this field in one way or another with adults and or kids.
Mm-hmm. And school has started.
It has.
How was the first week of school?
Fantastic. The second week is good too so far.
Oh, yeah. Good. What are you looking forward to most this school year?
It's the students, getting to know them better, watching them grow and develop and succeed. Probably not the paperwork, but definitely the students.
Mm-hmm. And what brings you the most joy when it comes to teaching?
When I see a student make a leap in their learning or a slow evolution in their way of seeing the world and behaving in the world and being in the world, understanding the world, that's why I do this.
And as my kind of final question, is there anything, since the school year is just starting, that you would like parents or your students to know about you?
If you see my classroom, it says, in a world where you can be anything, be kind. I really want kindness to live in my classroom. So you're always welcome.
That was elementary special education teacher Seth Johnson talking with KFSK's Taylor Heckert. You can find more interviews with Petersburg's new teachers at kfsk.org. Commercial Red King crab fishermen in Southeast Alaska are getting a competitive fishery this year. The State Department of Fish and Game announced on Tuesday that the fishery starts November 1st. It's the second year in a row the fishery is opening, after several years of not having one. Adam Messmer is the regional shellfish biologist for the department.
This is the first time in, since 2001, 2, and 3 that we've had a consecutive fishery. So, 20 plus years since we've had fisheries back to back.
There needs to be at least 200,000 pounds of harvestable crab in the water in order for a commercial fishery to open in Southeast. This year's harvest sits around 213,000. The department gets that estimate by surveying several bays and checking on the crab stock to see how much is available. Messmer says the opener rides a Red King crab population boom seen in a few bays.
We're trying to capitalize on that for as long as possible until there's another pulse coming up behind it. But, nobody really knows when that will happen.
He says a few bays in particular look promising. And last year's fishery indicated some bright spots outside of the survey areas, too. Messmer says there's more legal-sized crab this year. That's not too surprising, because last year they saw a lot of crab that were just undersized. Enough of those crab grew to allow for this upcoming commercial opener. However, they're not seeing as many undersized crab waiting in the wings now.
There's still some coming in, but not to the same extent. After having the fishery, seeing that legal size go up a bit means that, we didn't over-harvest on them last year.
The department allows fishermen to harvest a certain amount of crab in each area of the fishery. Those limits will be a little bit different than last year. Some have more and some less. Messmer says they'll announce those details later next week. The price of the crab comes from processors during the season, so he doesn't know what it'll be. But last year's Red King crab fishery, the first to open in several years, generated more money than the past two decades combined, valued at over $5 million. Messmer expects participation and the overall fishery to be similar to last year. Alaska's commercial salmon season is starting to wind down. In Haines, fishermen say the season so far hasn't been anything remarkable, but there is a silver lining: higher prices than most have seen in decades. The Alaska Desk's Avery Elfelt reports.
Haines fisherman Dan Kendrina made some much-needed but expensive upgrades to his gillnetter in the run-up to this year's fishing season.
That was before I knew the prices, but I can finally breathe a little bit now that that's done and the season covered it.
Okay, gotcha. Financially, he says this year has been
pretty incredible. It was fast and furious.
He says that has more to do with sky-high fish prices than with the fishing itself. Overall, Kendrina says there hasn't been, quote, an extraordinary amount of fish, end quote. But high prices across the board made up for it.
I mean, just a lot of people have been doing some upgrades that they haven't been able to justify in a long time. I did a bunch of them.
Gillnetter Steve Fossman says the same.
Fish run's been kind of mediocre, but the price is very good, so it's been a real good season, I think, for most guys. And the fall season, we'll see. It's kind of early. It's an in-between time. And I think in the next week, we should be an indicator of what's to come for the fall.
In Haines, the coho and wild chum runs are just getting going. Local processor Haines Packing Company did not respond to a request for comment about this summer's prices. But local fishermen say sockeye, for instance, went for as much as $3.25 per pound at the dock, up from the more typical $2 range. Chum, meanwhile, typically goes for less than $1. But fishermen say prices this year have been as high as $1.65 per pound. Fossman is among those who say they haven't seen prices this high since the 80s.
Finally getting paid for salmon what they're worth, yeah.
Preliminary state data backs the idea of a somewhat mediocre season fish-wise, though. Nicole Zeiser is the Haines Area Management Biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
It wasn't huge, wasn't terrible, but it came in below average.
Sockeye, for instance, are still trickling in. But for now, the Lynn Canal fisheries total estimated sockeye harvest, including the Chilkoot and Chilkat runs, is about 114,000 fish. That's below the 10-year average. Still, Zeiser says, this year's harvest was nearly double what it was in both 2024 and 2025. Both years, the harvest was closer to 65,000 fish. Notably, both the Chilkoot and Chilkat sockeye runs hit the state's escapement goals this year. Last year, the Chilkoot run did not.
Much better performance in terms of escapement versus the last 2 years. But it still overall wasn't a very big run.
The area's other runs have performed similarly, Zeiser says. Take Pink's.
We might come in near average, but right now the total harvest is 79,000, and that's below the 10-year average of 99,000.
The area's hatchery chum run will likely be just shy of the 10-year average as well. Reporting in Haines, I'm Avery Elfelt.
Dolly Parton's passing last week has left many reflecting on the country's music star's philanthropy, particularly around children's literacy. As KCAW's Lauren Salemo reports, last weekend, Sitkins took a page out of Parton's book and gave free books to kids.
It's a rainy afternoon at Old Harbor Books in Sitka. Lisa Tease Conaway is browsing the shelves with her three sons.
Well, we found a great Frog and Toad for Owen here, who's only 7 months old. He's very excited to chew on it already. And Adrian, what did you find?
Dungeons and Dragons Master Monster Manual. Monster Manual.
They'll be walking away with three new books, one for each of the boys, without paying a penny. A Facebook group called Sitka Kids is leading a Pay It Forward campaign for children's books at the local bookshop. Kids up to age 12 can choose one book under $20. Community donations will cover the cost. It's one way Sitkins are honoring the legacy of Dolly Parton, who was dedicated to improving children's literacy, especially in rural areas. Librarian Carrie Sagel helped get the idea off the ground.
People wanted to commemorate her, sing her songs, play tributes, and I sensed that people wanted to do something. And I thought, well, let's give them something to do.
Parton has been making an impression on young readers in Sitka for years. Over 260 kids are enrolled in Sitka's branch of the Imagination Library. That's Parton's foundation that sends one free book a month to kids under five. As a librarian, Sagel says she's always eager to give books to children, especially physical books.
I think research shows that the book is so important. That's a technical library term, book.
I mean, I expected it to be busy for sure.
Jasmine Horton is a bookseller at the local store. Before the shop opened this morning, she says people were lined up outside with rain boots and umbrellas.
But when I walked up and saw the line, I was like, oh, let me hurry up and get inside so we can get started.
And there's been a steady stream of customers all day.
All of the kids have just been running around and, you know, can I get this book? Can I get this book?
The fund started with $300 from Sagel, the bookstore, and Peggy Fedoroff, a retired teacher. With just a few days' notice, they racked up more than $3,000 from individuals and businesses in town. Over 120 kids were able to walk away with a free book.
It's social media and word of mouth in a small town. The two are just the perfect combo.
That's Ashia Lane, the bookstore's manager. There's still a few hundred dollars left in the fund. Lane says the bookstore is hoping to hold the balance on a gift card to pay it forward another day. She slides a book into a plastic bag to keep it safe from the afternoon's drizzle.
All right, have a good day. Thank
you. Everything's gonna work out just fine.
Dolly Parton's death was tough news for people around the world. But for Sitka's youngest readers, her light still shines, even on a rainy day. In Sitka, I'm Lauren Salemo.
For KFSK, I'm Olivia Rose.